Hi, and welcome back to Overexposed, a podcast by Pexels made by and for ambitious creatives. If you've ever seen the work of our guest today, Jeffrey Zum, you can describe it as minimal magic. Jeff is a freelance digital creator from Buffalo, New York, and was featured as one of our heroes of the week on our blog a while back, talking about his minimal makeovers, where he creates fantastical worlds out of everyday scenes by removing distractions from the shot and highlighting some of the most important elements. If you haven't seen his work yet, you have to go check it out. We talked to Jeff about how he finds inspiration in the most common yet overlooked places, and how he found his signature style from learning Photoshop during quarantine as an outlet to express himself during the pandemic. His work has been featured on the New York Times, Accidentally Wes Anderson, and the popular Tumblr blog This Isn't Happiness. The stories and thoughtfulness behind Jeff's photos are absolutely incredible, and the way that he was able to teach himself a completely new skill during quarantine is so inspiring. I can't wait for you guys to listen to this one, so let's jump right into it. Thank you so much for joining us on Overexposed today, Jeff.
Thanks for having me. Big fan of Pexels. Love to be here.
Likewise, they're also huge fans of you and the way that you created your photos. I'm so excited to get into that. But before we do you want to give us just like a quick summary about your own creative background and how you got into photography?
Yes. All right. So the elevator pitch. My name is Jeffrey Zum. I'm from Buffalo, New York. I guess I consider myself a digital creator, which is weird because I wasn't always that way. It's funny. It kind of just evolved into itself over the past year. I've always considered myself a creative person. Spent most of my 20s playing in an emo MySpace band. It's a fun fact about me. Really was always drawn to photography. It was a family trip I took with my mom and dad to the Grand Canyon. They bought me this like $5 disposable camera. I think it was waterproof too. Like one of those things you get from the corner store. And I remember I was like addicted to it. I had them buy me like five more on that trip. We were only there for 4 days and I was just taking pictures constantly. And I remember getting them developed and I was just really shocked that they actually turned out. I think I was around 11 or 12 years old. So like having that physical creative outlet right there for me, I could see, you know, this is the product of something that I created. Something I saw is translated onto a photo, like really stuck with me. And ever since, like through high school, I was always taking the photography classes. After high school, I always had a camera and I kind of put it down for a little bit for a few years. And it really wasn't until somewhat recent where I picked it up again and really kind of committed to it and really started using it as my main creative outlet. And yeah, ever since it's been a wild ride. It's been a really fun process.
Yeah. It's a common story with a lot of creatives, like once they grow up and they're kind of doing photography, a lot of it went down to like, even though if it's not doing their full time or if it's just like a side hustle, a lot of it stemmed from, that interest when you were very young. And we can see that like film recently has been making such a big comeback.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. And even if you're not like shooting film itself, although that whole process is so cool, people have been putting like presets and like grainy looks, which is becoming so trendy. So it's really cool that you actually got to kind of start with film because a lot of people I think are going backwards now. What is it about film? Because you still shoot like analog right now that you still kind of go back to.
Yeah, I've always loved film. High school, I took a break because I couldn't roll film for the life of me. No matter how hard I tried, just could not do in that black little bag. You can't see anything. You're trying. No matter how many times I've tried it, my pictures would just always fail. I picked it up, I think last year, I went to a thrift store and just bought, I think a Canon AE-1 from the 80s for I think like maybe $20, $50. Gave it another shot. Loved the first roll. It's my go-to travel camera. I just love the physical aspect that goes into it. It's just something different than when you're shooting on a digital camera. You kind of take it for granted. You'll take 15 to 20 pictures of the same thing. You'll delete what you don't like. With film, you know, you really have to put some thought into what you're shooting. You have to conserve, you know, your roll because you only have 24, maybe 36 pictures, depending on what you're using. And each film has its own distinct look. And it's just, it's definitely has a more of a physical feel than rather just this mundane digital easy method. It's definitely took me a lot of tries. I messed up, I think, the first few times when I did it. And I still mess up now. You you really don't know what you're going to get. Each role is different. You might only like one photo out of 30. You might like two. You might not like any. So you really don't know what the outcome's going to be. It's a mystery every time.
Yeah, exactly. I shot film for a couple of years too, just because I just loved, I even collected like a couple. I don't know if you can see.
Oh, but yeah. Very nice. Yes. The Polaroids.
Yeah, I never ended up being able to develop myself, though. But even just like waiting to get your film back when you give it into a store is like Christmas Day. And it's, yeah, like you said, it's like you don't know what you're going to get. And I think that comes with like why it's so cool. It's because, yeah, with digital, you can kind of see it. And oftentimes you judge it right away and delete it. But sometimes with film, you're like, oh, I don't think that turned out. But then there might be like a nice little like surprise in there sometimes.
Exactly. You think like the one picture you're waiting for, you there's always one picture that you have in your mind, like, okay, that's going to be it. I can't wait to see how that turns out. When you get your roll back, it might be something completely different that you forgot you took. And you're like, wow, that I wasn't expecting that to look like that. That happens to me all the time. It's always the shots that I'm not really anticipating that turn out to be my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I took one like intro photography class in college. And I remember asking the professor, like, what makes a good photo versus a great photo?
That's a great question. I'm interested for the answer now.
Yeah. And like at first, like when I was first starting, because I never went to like formal like photography school, I just took an elective in first year. And I always thought, oh, it was a composition or like what makes something a good photo. And he's like, a good photo is usually the one that surprises you. It's pretty broad, but it's just something that kind of makes you think about it a little more. And
oh, I love that. That's a great answer.
Yeah. And I know a lot of the times like you get caught up in like composition or editing and stuff like that. But yeah, it's usually the ones that makes you like take a second that are the ones that really stick with you.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
And speaking of kind of having an eye for like a good photo, having that sort of eye as a photographer is so important because two people can be looking at the exact same thing, but have completely different takes on how they photograph it based on like the angle, the lighting situation, how close or far they go. And the one photo of yours that I distinctly remember is that panda photo, the one where all the people are around and there's a panda in the middle. And I was just thinking like, if I was in that situation, I would have totally not thought of to photograph it that way. And that's what makes it so cool. In your Hero of the Week feature, we described your shots as kind of like minimal magic. What is the process that you go through when you're kind of taking a photo? And what do you look for in a good shot?
So speaking of the panda photo, that's a great example. I'm really happy you brought that up because that's definitely something that took me by surprise. I did shoot that on film.
Oh, wow.
The
no way.
Original photo is much different. It was taken in Prague on the top of, I think, some tower, just overlooking the general square, the main square of Prague. Had no idea what I was pointing at. I just kind of shot down. Wasn't until I got the photo where I saw that in like the lower right-hand corner of the photo. So it wasn't really when I kind of zoomed in and cropped it that it turned into something completely different. So that's not even, I think, 50% of the photo. That's just like a kind of really zoomed in look. So I'm happy I used a low ISO for that, so it wasn't completely grainy. So my process is different every time. Sometimes, you know, when I'm shooting, I won't even know the end product. I'll sit on a photo for like a few months. I'll go back in Lightroom when I'm bored, trying to see what I have. Something might stick out to me months or a year later, like, hey, I can maybe use this for something that's cool and something completely different than what I originally intended or the original version of the photo itself. So it's really different every time. I guess it depends on my current mood or my creative headspace at the time. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been a learning process for me. I'm still relatively new to the whole digital art thing and photo manipulation. And that's really what I'm going for these days.
I had no idea it was just like one part of a photo. I totally thought like you kind of saw it and then took it that way.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like one of those things where you couldn't really lean over the top to see what was below you. So I just kind of stuck my camera out and took a picture of whatever, hoping it would turn out. And when I got it, I was like, eh, it's all right. And then I sat on it for a few weeks and I looked at it again and I saw kind of in the lower right-hand corner, like, oh, there's this crowd amassing around a panda bear. I had no idea about that. I had no idea that that was there when I took the photo. And it wasn't until afterwards where I saw that and really kind of sat down and really looked at it that I saw that there's more detail to be told.
Mm-hmm. And going back to kind of what we mentioned about film, I think with like digital, it's so easy like to judge your photo right away. So like if you take it and they're like, oh, this is not good. And then I know I'm guilty of this and I delete it right away and kind of move on with it. Whereas with film, you can kind of like, there's less of that, like, oh, I'm going to delete it right away. You kind of have to wait for it and really take a look at it with fresh eyes. But there's so many instances, I'm sure a lot of people, where they took a photo and they didn't really think much of it at first, but there could be something like hidden in there that you can bring out, that it just takes a little bit longer to kind of look at it. And like you said, just sit with it a little bit more.
Exactly. And same could be said for digital too. That's why, like, I try not to delete so many, but I do get in the habit of that.
Yeah.
A lot of my digital photos too, same thing. I'll come back to it a few months later and give it a new fresh set of eyes. And I'm like, oh, there's something here I didn't know about before. I'd say half of my heavily altered photos have resulted from that. Just me taking just okay photos that I didn't like at first. And I come back to it and be like, you know what? I can make that work. I'm going to sit down, give me an hour or two. I'll try and make something interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like training your eye is not only just like in the photo itself, but now with so many different ways that you can, like you said, like digitally manipulate things, like you kind of have to have that a second layer to it. That's one is looking at the shot and finding the right angle and whatnot. But the other one is, okay, like here's what I have and what can I do with it, which I think opens up, at least like in the past few years, like so many doors for people to try so many cool things.
Exactly. And a helpful tip for me, if I'm stuck on a photo in Lightroom or Photoshop, I'll just flip it and mirror it. It gives a brand new perspective. You're looking almost at a brand new photo. So, I mean, if you're ever in the process of editing, you're just kind of stuck. You are in that block that you just, you know, you hit the wall. You don't know what else you can do. You want a fresh set of eyes on it. I'm telling you, flip it. It gives a brand new perspective.
Yeah, I could totally see that with like the way that you, like your style that you've kind of picked up recently is like everything is so like super symmetrical and so light and minimalistic. Wow, I didn't say that right.
That's minimalistic. Hard, right?
Minimalistic and like airy and stuff like that. So I know you sent that photo of the one that I think it was one that resonated with a lot of people when the pandemic started, that said everything is canceled. And for me, I thought, where did you even find this place? It looks so perfect, but it's so crazy that it started as that one building and it turned into something that was almost completely different.
Yeah, it's kind of a letdown when you see the original. I know it's kind of hard to translate that via podcast. I wish we could show the original photo, but it was taken in Paris. It's across the Seine. I think I was on just overlooking a minimal skyline of Paris. It's really nothing special about it. It's like an overcast day. You have like the old Parisian architecture and it's just an okay photo. And when I did that, again, I was saying, I came back to it a month. I was just sitting there. I think I took that in 2016. I ended up doing that. Oh, everything wow. Canceled, what was it, 2020? So last year. So I was sitting there for a few years and I had this idea of kind of putting font into my pictures, making it seem like it's like that old retro hotel style where it has the mount on the roof saying phrases. So I wanted to have something that really resonated with that, with the time that we were experiencing last year. I remember I had a trip planned for Scotland. I had so many plans for 2020. Yeah. One by one, they were just getting canceled. I mean, there were so many good concerts I was looking forward to, canceled. I had my vacation canceled. Couldn't go out, couldn't see my friends. And yeah. I was just so stuck in myself. I was just stuck inside constantly. So I decided to put that in. I was just kind of a way for me to vent. So I just did everything is canceled, but I didn't have anywhere to put it. I had this sign all made. I was like, okay, I want a cool building that I can kind of put this on. And I came back to that photo in Paris and I saw the building to the far right. So it's interesting. I just kind of cut that in Photoshop. So I had half of it. I ended up flipping it. So it's a mirror image. The left side is completely the same as the right side. It's just flipped and mirrored. So it looks as one photo. Put the sign on top. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Just gave it a minimal look, edited out the background, put in a blue sky, and that was it.
Yeah. And have you ever had people like ask you like, oh, like, where is this place? Because it seems like so perfect.
Yes. And sometimes people will be like, hey, that looks familiar. I think I've seen that. I'm like, it's completely made up. Yeah. So yeah, they do ask a lot. And I just kind of, it's a way for me to talk about my process. And it's really fun to talk about because it's just an interesting way that it really all started for me, a way to learn Photoshop. I would sit on my computer and just follow along with YouTube tutorials. So I'd learn how to use the pen tool. I'll learn how to use a lasso tool. So for that photo, I literally did the pen tool and I just kind of pinpointed every part of that building. So it took me like 3 hours to do because Paris architecture is not anything simple. A lot of detail. So zooming in, going point by point by point so I can do a clean cutout, taking out the background, submitting a, I'm a sucker for blue skies. I live in Buffalo where it's overcast, I'd say 300 days out of the year. So it's fun. I just kind of, it's my outlet of just creating a scene in my head onto paper or a screen.
Yeah. I was just going to ask too, like if you had like previous Photoshop like background or anything, or was this something that you picked up right as you like started doing the style of like cutting things out?
Yeah. So no Photoshop experience. I bought, I really wanted Lightroom. So I got the photography plan on Adobe Creative Suite, and Photoshop just happened to come along with it. So I figured it's like, all right, I have it. I should kind of give it a try. I should learn it. The first few times I opened it up, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. There was just the layout.
Yeah, it's so intimidating.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, the layout was just foreign to me. Everything was just, I had no idea what anything did. So what I did is I just went on YouTube and did a tutorial for anything. I did like a basic like beginners for Photoshop. And then I would just go into individual like tools and search tutorials on that. So tutorial for how to use the lasso tool, the pen tool, how to crop, straighten a photo. So one by one, started getting a little bit more comfortable with that. And then I just kind of started doing it on my own, started making these photos. I mean, the early photos I put up on Pexels were really the process of me learning it. And you can see the progression. Like some I have photos I have uploaded now are completely different from ones I had last year. So
yeah,
it's really, I feel like I could see the progression in myself, and it's kind of cool to see like where I've come and where I've started from.
Yeah, I totally noticed that too when I was looking at your profile. I thought this was something that like you've had for like a long time. This was like your style with like the minimal, like blue skies, like very like airy looking. But then I noticed that you had like a different, a completely different style before. And this was something that was like pretty recent, which is so incredible because I feel like every time like I see your name, that was like what I associated with.
No, yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it's just my way, my process. I mean, a year from now, 2 years from now, it's just, seems like it's ever evolving. So it might be something completely different. So we'll definitely see where this takes me.
Through this podcast, like I've talked to so many amazing photographers and artists who are like so resilient in the way that they're kind of coping creatively throughout this pandemic. And it's, although it really sucks that we're not able to kind of do what we regular do, it's so amazing seeing like what people have been able to like create, just like having that time to be able to sit down and really like think about things.
I've noticed that too. I mean, some of the contests Pexels comes up is amazing. Like some of the photos I see are just like stunning. I can't believe like they're there for free. Like it's crazy what people are creating.
Yeah. And since you kind of started this, like this neon signs on these buildings, your work has seemingly like resonated with a lot of people, and it's been featured on like the Tumblr blog, like This Isn't Happiness and Accidentally Wes Anderson and the New York Times. Did you expect kind of this response when you like first started doing this?
No, not at all. It was just my way of just keeping myself from going crazy, being stuck inside. It's nuts. I mean, the people at Accidentally Wes Anderson, they've been nothing but amazing. They've been so supportive. They're the nicest people. I had a chance to meet them at their one of their pop-ups for the book release.
And yeah.
It was incredible. I couldn't even believe, A, that they wanted to feature my photo on the Instagram, and B, they wanted to use it in their book. And that never really resonated to me either. Like, I have always been a fan of symmetry and just creating like that minimal look. And people would tell me like, hey, your photos look like a Wes Anderson movie. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I just totally see what you're going for. Now it might be a complete ripoff of Wes Anderson. I try to get a little bit more of a personal touch on there. But yeah, it's been incredible. And the New York Times, especially, that was really cool to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like stuff that like, especially your photos, they're so like easy to look at. There's like not much distraction. There's only like one subject, and I can totally see why it like caught the traction so easily. And I can see it like being used as like backgrounds or like books or even just like a really aesthetic, like Instagram feed.
See, that's my biggest goal as a photographer. I don't want money. I don't want anything else. If you could use my photo on like your phone background, awesome. That's my goal. You set it for your desktop on your computer, even better.
Yeah, that's so amazing. Yeah. So like, are there any upcoming projects that you're kind of working on, or like what's next for you?
So what's next? Sometimes I don't even know. like, right now I have no idea what's next for me. I'm just kind of working a full-time job right now. So this isn't even what I do for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this
I
is
have
just
no
like,
idea.
Yeah. It's funny. This is just what I do like in my spare time. I'm really even hesitant to make it in a full-time job because I don't want to end up hating it. So for now I'm just kind of taking my time with it, see where it goes, see what happens. I'd really like to put on an art show at some point once the world goes back to normal. So that's my goal within the next year, if I can make that happen. I had one right before the pandemic. I had a blast. It was a lot of pressure. I didn't like it being like a spotlight on me and like actually like anticipating people to come out, but it was actually a really big success and it was an honor to even feel that way. So that's definitely something I want to do again and just kind of see what I create over the next few months.
Yeah, it's so amazing to kind of see the style that you've developed just from kind of learning Photoshop and learning these basic things, because like now that I'm talking to you and getting to know the background, I'm so amazed because I totally thought this was something that, first of all, you were doing full time, but also something that you've been doing for a long time. Because yeah, like I've tried like making like different photos and stuff in Photoshop, and it's not easy.
No, I mean, yeah, it took me a while. My first few attempts were just awful, like completely awful. So yeah, the reality of me, I am not that interesting, I guess. I'm just that boring person just using this to learn my way through Photoshop. And there's still a lot I can learn. I'm sure if someone were to see my process, they would just critique and be like, you know, you can do that a much easier way, right? So I don't know. I might not even be doing the way it's supposed to be done, but it works for me. I really enjoy my style. Each time I do a new photo, I find myself learning something new. So it's been really fun.
Yeah, well, that's the best way to do it. I think with Photoshop, sometimes I think about like, wow, like how did someone even like go through the process of like making Photoshop? Because
it's crazy. Yeah, there's so much into it. There's so much you could do. I haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Yeah, and then but it gives people so much freedom to be able to kind of like. Like there's no right way to do things. Someone can get to the same destination like four different ways, but
exactly. I think it's subjective, just like, you know, the final piece.
Exactly. Yeah. And for those who are listening, what would kind of be your advice for someone who is kind of stuck in trying to find their next step? So we know you talked about like just flipping a photo and just doing something so simple and just looking at it a different way. But I know like some people have been like kind of stuck creatively during this pandemic and not really sure kind of what to do now that we're not able to kind of go out and like take photos with friends and whatnot.
Yeah. So, I mean, my biggest thing was to step outside my comfort zone. You're never going to learn something new. You're never going to pick something up if you're not willing to do that. Before I did this, my photography was mostly like portraits and, you know, landscapes. Really wasn't until I started doing cityscapes, taking pictures of buildings and really committing that to, you know, my editing style that this really took a lead of its own. Like I said, 2 years ago, my style was completely different. I was just kind of, I was stuck. I really didn't know what else to do. I was just, you know, I was strictly only shooting analog, mostly portraits, mostly landscapes. And I was just kind of getting bored of it. There's nothing that interesting about it to me. And I just really wanted to venture out into something new. That's when I really committed myself to really learn the process of Photoshop and more editing techniques and just putting yourself out to learn something new. I mean, if you're not willing to do that, I don't know if there's room for you to grow. Growing is at a cost. You have to really put in the work and put yourself out there.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, I know that, to see if like just a regular photo or like a regular building, someone can easily overlook it and be like, oh, that's not so interesting. But it depends on the artist and the way that they kind of look at things. And where do you usually kind of draw your inspiration from that you think like influence the way that you're able to kind of look at things so creatively?
Oh yeah, that's a great point, because I usually stay away from, you know, the tourist attractions, the main points that everyone is drawn to. I love it when I can take a picture of a building that you would just walk on by and just not even pay attention to. I'd love trying to like separate that from the busy background, just giving it a subject all of its own. That's why I just kind of love minimizing the distractions of the background, cutting them out, putting a blue sky there, just making it its own subject and trying to make it interesting, trying to make something that may not be that appealing and making it more aesthetically pleasing. I know there's one that is one of my favorite photos I've ever done. It's of the Falls Motel in Niagara Falls. It's this completely just crummy looking motel in real life that I remember I drove by once. I was like, oh, that place is disgusting looking. Yeah. I think it's one of my, like my most recent photo on Pexels. And I remember I drove by, I just got vaccinated. It was after my first dose and I was right around the area. So I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. Drove by, it was golden hour. So it was like the perfect lighting. I stopped. There's no like traffic light. So I'm driving. I just stopped. There's people behind me. They're already starting to honk, but I was like, nope, I'm going to take this picture, put it in park, took the photo as fast as I could, got out of there, got home, and still it was just this boring building. It was like this ugly motel from the 70s. It had this weird addition on top. So I tried to give it a complete makeover, just try to give it like this Palm Springs look. I added palm trees when in reality, this place was in Niagara Falls. I added like this Cadillac in front of it, but in reality, it was like this 2001 Ford Forester. So there's nothing interesting about that. So, I mean, with that, just like I said, I just want to give it a complete makeover. It's a building that I don't think anyone in Western New York has even looked at. And it's just, it was my goal to just kind of make a cool scene right out of Palm Springs, this poppy, airy, really vintage look. And it's probably one of my most favorite pieces since I started.
That's so cool because, yeah, like I think everyone, especially now that with like Instagram and on the internet, when someone takes a cool photo of something, everyone's like, oh, where is this? Where is this? And they want to go. And like, obviously, if something's like already super nice and beautiful, it'd be easy to take a photo of it. And of course, it would look good. But it's so cool that you were able to challenge yourself to that extent where it's like, hey, like no one's going to even take a second look at this. So let's see what like we can make out of it.
Yeah, that's my goal. Like I said, I was in Paris right before I was with my wife or my girlfriend at the time. I proposed there. I took one picture of the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, it was like everything around it. Like I try and stay away from the photos that people see on Instagram, the Instagrammable places. I try and go for the unknown and the often overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you totally have it down. And I think I'm so excited to kind of see where it goes from here. Cause yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that was what you did at all. So I'm hoping this will become like more of a regular thing. And now that it's become like this new style that you've created.
Yeah. I'm winging it. That's what it is. I'm learning as I go.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Exactly. I agree.
So for those who are listening, where can we find you and your work online?
So online, I am right on Instagram. So Instagram.com/Jeffrey Zum. I think that's what it is. Yes, I think it is. In the process of getting an official website made, but for now, I just kind of put everything on Pexels and Instagram.
Yeah, on Pexels, I just usually just search up your name and you're the first one that comes up. But I think that's like your URL too. So
yeah, Pexels is interesting. It's a funny story how I got involved with that. I don't remember when I put pictures up on there. You probably see this, but maybe 2017, 16.
Oh, wow.
I think I put like maybe two or three. I forgot about it. I didn't even know what Pexels was at the time. And it wasn't until like a few years later, I'm looking online, I see this article in Pop Sugar. I see my wife, and it was like 5 secrets men don't tell you. I'm like, what on earth is this? I click it, and it's my photo. I was like, where did they get this? And it said from Pexels. And I was like, oh my god, I uploaded this years ago. I went back to it, and I had like almost 1 million views. I had no idea this was happening. And ever since that, that's when I really like, oh my god, Pexels is awesome. I'm gonna start using more. And it. Now it's incredible. It's led to some amazing opportunities. So it's been a really cool outlet for me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. Like we're a pretty young company and I didn't start here until like 2018. And similar, okay. Like I didn't really know like what Pexels was at first. Like I knew like the basis of it, but it's definitely taken off in the last few years, which is really great seeing so many different photographers kind of sharing their work and even seeing like what it's like amounted to, people being featured on like New York Times or people featured on like Wall Street Journal and stuff like that. So even for me as a photographer, I never wouldn't have gotten those opportunities if I didn't just like half the photos I think that I put out is just like, oh, like these are sitting on my hard drive. I probably won't ever see them again. So let's just see and put them up. And I've been surprised I've been surprised a lot of times where I was like, oh, people actually want to use this. Like I would have literally never thought about it.
Exactly. It's just funny that the first article I saw with my photo was about that. It's great.
Like, I know her.
Yeah, I know that girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story. It's been so great to kind of hear what goes behind your work because it's so beautiful. And I never would have guessed it. And like, that was exactly how you did it. So
I know, not as interesting as it appears, but no, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. I had a blast. This is great.
If you've made it this far, I just wanted to say thank you for listening to Overexposed. As a token of my appreciation, I'll be offering a free 20-minute phone call to talk about your creative goals and how we can get you there. Just shoot me an email at wendy@pexels.com or send us a DM at Pexels on Instagram. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. And finally, don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would also love it. Until next time, I'm Wendy, and it's been a pleasure to share this time with you.